The Most Reverend Michael Mulvey.
For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. The heart represents the hidden, deepest, and most intimate part of ourselves and the very source of our lives. The treasure represents whatever has most value and gives security, both today and in the future. Our heart also represents our values, the source of the choices we make. It is the secret place where the meaning of life itself is at stake. What's most important for us? What is our treasure for which we are ready to leave all else behind? Western consumer society encourages us to accumulate material goods, to concentrate on our own needs and not to bother about those of others. This is driven by the pursuit of personal well-being and efficiency. Yet St. Luke, who wrote his gospel in a very different cultural context, presents these words of Jesus as a decisive and universal teaching for men and women of all times and all places. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Luke's gospel strongly emphasizes the need for Jesus' disciple to make a radical, definitive, and specific choice. God the Father is the true good and must occupy a Christian's whole heart, following the example of Jesus himself. This exclusive choice brings with it a trusting abandonment to God's love and the chance of becoming truly rich, since God's children are heirs to his kingdom. It is a question of freedom, which means not letting ourselves be possessed by material goods, but really having control over them. Material wealth, in fact, can occupy our heart and generate a growing anxiety to possess more, which can become real dependence. Instead, almsgiving, to which we are exhorted in this passage of the gospel, is a matter of justice, dictated by mercy, which lightens the heart and opens us up to fraternal equality. Every Christian personally and the whole community of believers can experience true freedom through sharing both material and spiritual goods with those who need them. This is the Christian lifestyle, which bears witness to real trust in the Father and lays solid foundations for the civilization of love. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. To free us from the slavery of having, Kara Lubick made an enlightening suggestion in a commentary to the Word of Life of September 2004. She said, I quote, "Why does Jesus insist so much on detachment from goods, to the point of making it an indispensable condition for being able to follow him? Because the first treasure in life, our real wealth, is him. He wants us to be free, with our souls unburdened by any attachment or worry, so that we can truly love him with all our heart, mind, and strength. He asks us to renounce our possessions also, because he wants us to be open to others. The simplest way to renounce is to give. We can give to God by loving him. We can show our love by loving our brothers and sisters, being ready to risk everything for them. Even if we do not realize it, we have much wealth to share. We have love in our hearts to give, friendship to express, and joy to communicate. We have time to use for other people, prayers to offer, inner riches to share. Sometimes we have things such as books, clothes, cars, money. Let's give them to others without reasoning what they might be used for in the future on such and such an occasion. Everything can be useful, but in the meantime, by giving in to these ideas, our hearts can become full of attachments which, in turn, create new needs within us. No, let's try to keep only what we need. Let's be careful not to lose Jesus because of a sum of money we have set aside, because of something we can do without. For where your treasure is, there your heart also will be. Marissa and Agostino, who have been married for 34 years, shared this experience. Quote, after 8 years of marriage, everything was going well for us. Our house and jobs were just as we wanted them. But then we were asked whether we could move from Italy to a Latin American country to support a young Christian community. Among the thousands of different voices we heard within that expressed concern about an unknown future, and the comments of people who told us we were crazy, both of us heard one voice in particular that gave us great peace. It was Jesus saying, "Come, follow me." So we did. We found ourselves in a completely different environment from what we were used to. Although we had much less than before, we felt that we received many other things in exchange, such as wonderful relationships with many people. The experience of God's providence was also very strong. One evening, we had organized a small party, and each family was going to bring typical dishes for the meal. We had just returned from Italy with a big piece of Parmesan cheese. We felt torn between wanting to share a part of it and thinking that there would be little left for us, but remembered Jesus' words, "Give, and it will be given to you." We looked at each other and said, "We've left our country, our jobs, our relatives, and now we're getting attached to a piece of cheese?" We cut off a large chunk and brought it with us to share at the dinner. 2 days later, the doorbell rang. It was a tourist, a man we didn't personally know, but who was a friend of some friends of ours. He gave us a package our friends had sent. Inside was a large piece of Parmesan cheese. Jesus' promise, "A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your laps." We knew it was really true.